Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman B20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20-volt max XR 4-amp-hour battery kit. Dad knows. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb, Illinois. Have you had any performers or people who have gone into that dressing room with no knowledge of anything and then been like, something is going on here?
So most of the time, our performers are seeing our balcony ghost, which is interesting. And that's why for the longest time, we didn't think our dressing room was haunted, because I think, as someone who knows, who's been a performer, when you're backstage, like you said, there's so much energy. Like, there could be a ghost screaming in the middle of the room during dance recitals and no one would hear it because they're so loud and it's so much activity right down there. But one thing we have is, say we have the balcony closed. And this is a story I had heard numerous times and then had it happen to me, was you'll have a performer say, who is the woman in the balcony? So I had this exact example. We had a magician. The balcony was closed. So if I'm taking pictures as marketing, I'm usually in the front row of the balcony because I don't have to worry about anyone behind me. They're beautiful shots. Fantastic. So that's where I was. So after the show, I go up and I'm like, hey, Bill, what'd you think? How was the show? And he's like, it was great. Who's the woman in the balcony? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was me. No, I was down in the front taking photos. He goes, no, I saw you. There was a woman in a dress just kind of like walking back and forth in the upper corner. And Alex just kind of looks at me like, And I was like, and of course, skeptical me. I'm like, how could you tell she was in a dress, Bill? Like, that's from the upper balcony. And he goes,
Very specific.
Because the lights in the walkway, when she walked back and forth, they kept getting blocked by her skirt. And I'm like, you shut up. I was up there the entire time. So yeah, we get that all the time, that people see the woman in the green dress in our balcony.
And my guess is, if the skirt was kind of blocking the light, that makes it seem like it was a long skirt. So then you're trying to do a performance and you're a magician and you've got to remember all these little, your own personal cues. And it's like, who is the woman up there the whole time with me?
Like,
so
can you
hard
sit down?
Wow.
Yeah. And Lisa, she's been seen at all times, and she's the one where people don't even think she's a ghost. So what she's been described to us as in a long green dress, that she was a performer sometime back in the 30s or 40s, often described with a long cigarette holder. Usually we've been told that she knows she's dead. She hears us talking about us. Like, I've had mediums be like, yeah, she's standing right next to you thinking it's hilarious you're talking about her. And I'm like, oh my God. So she's apparently a very friendly ghost. But yeah, we had a showing of Little Shop of Horrors, and someone was like, why is there a cast member up in the balcony and why are they so poorly dressed for Little Shop of Horrors? Like, this is the worst costume I've ever seen. It looks so completely out of decade. And so they were telling us about that, and we're like, what do they look like? And he's like, it was a woman in a green dress with this long cigarette holder. And we're like, oh,
about that.
My friend. So she just repetitious. We've had, when we were doing our construction project, this sprinkler guy, he saw her sitting up in the balcony and thought it was a living human. And it was like 6 a.m. He was one of the early birds getting there. And we're creatures of the night as theater people, so we're not there. And yeah, he was like, "Are you locking your doors?" There was a woman sitting up in the balcony, and I ran up there and there was no one there. And we're like, "Oh no, friend, what'd you look like?" So yeah, we get a lot of sightings of, they think it's a living human being walking around in our balcony in period clothing.
That's a really powerful energy to be so real that he thinks people are sneaking in, or, you know, there's somebody watching from the balcony in a weird dress.
Yeah.
Like, that's powerful.
Yeah, she's probably our, her and Irv are probably our strongest energies. Everyone knows about Irv and the Lady in Green. And it's interesting. So we get the question all the time of, who is the Lady in Green? You know, where is she from? So I actually worked with our local historian. So I asked the historian of, you know, how can we know, did a performer die here? Did someone die during construction? We'd always heard these rumors. And basically, he said, yeah, it very well could be. But back in the 20s and 30s, something that salacious, you could easily just kind of go to the paper and say, "Hey, could you not? Could I give you a donation or something?" And you don't write about my business and something that awful happening there. So he's like, there could have easily been things like that. And that's why you keep hearing these stories. But there's never going to be anything in the print. So I have. I've gone through microfilm. I'm trying to find these stories. There's a lot to learn from 29 to 78, especially, that we just don't know. But yeah, Irv, he's very recent. He was in the 80s when he passed.
Tell us about Irv then.
Yeah. So Irv, he was one of the people that helped save the theater. So in the 70s, it was him and his wife, Barb, as well as a plethora of other individuals that helped save the theater. But Irv, he worked at the theater. So Barb became the executive director in 78. That was his wife, and served until 98. And then he was basically her right-hand man helping run the theater. So in the 80s, I believe it was November of 88, he had a favorite seat that was at the top of aisle one, right by the pillar. And there had been a production of West Side Story put on by NIU. And that night, after the show was all wrapped up, everyone was cleaning, and he was standing next to his favorite seat and had a heart attack and died right there in aisle one, next to his favorite seat. Very young, very unexpected. And a lot of people still know him. I mean, this was very recent. I've been on the radio where I had met someone that had, because he was a journalism professor at NIU, and they'd had him as his class. I've actually even found his gravestone where it mentions he has a nice little blurb written about his life, one of them being his proudest moments was saving the Egyptian theater. So he's the one that I truly believe is my like paranormal boss. He's the one that cares the most about the theater. He will let us know if things are going poorly. Like, there was the perfect example. It was November of 2020, because we were able to open up kind of in the summer when we kind of had that weird, like, you can have 20 people. And we're like, okay. And we were like, okay, I think we can do a Christmas film series. We'll do it really small, socially distanced. And then we got shut down again. And that day, my word, there were doors moving and just stuff. And literally, as we're leaving, we're like, Irv, this is not our choice. Like, this is happening. We have to do this. Like, just make your peace. Because yeah, it was, he gets really agitated. But I will say, I'm taking it to the bank. I've had a medium, or we've had a sensitive in-house since we finished the expansion. And she said, I'm getting something with a man named Irv and that he likes the expansion. And I was like, I will take that to the bank. I will take that as the highest compliment. So he is the one that makes sure stuff is getting done. And he gets agitated if things are not.
One question I always have when there's a ghost of someone who's more of a contemporary figure, do their families know about it? Do they have some feelings? I'm always like, I don't know if I would go to somebody and say, hey, I think your dad or your uncle or your cousin is haunting the theater. But maybe I would also find that comforting if I was that person's relative. I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about it.
Totally. So that came up. So basically, for the longest time, we really didn't talk much about Irv. Other people talked about Irv, like people put it on our Wikipedia page and stuff, but we even like didn't call our ghost tours until after. Basically, Irv's wife, Barb, did not think that Irv haunted the theater. This was not something. And so out of respect for Barb, we absolutely we never used his name in promos. It's something that just, it didn't, like you said, it didn't feel right. It felt disrespectful to someone's family memory. But as we continue to tell the story of the Egyptian, we've gotten support more from the community and even from now Barb's kids of saying, hey, this is a part of my dad's life. But, and sadly, actually Barb passed in the past few years and we actually had a lot of activity. So I don't know if she came and gave us a visit and was like, and then took off to wherever she went. But yeah, it's absolutely something that is a very interesting topic when you have a contemporary ghost, because a lady in green, I have no idea when she's right. from or who her family is or the janitor on stage. But Irv is very specific. And a lot of the people we've talked to, people that knew him, people that worked with him at the theater specifically, we had so many people said, oh my God, of course he would. This was his life. This was his baby. This was his dream. I can't imagine. I if he had the choice to keep this thing going forever, he would take that choice. More of, we wanted to find it as a way to pay homage to someone who cared about an organization so strongly. And because of that energy and love and maybe something that's now lasting or just replaying in our building, it continues. It continues that joy and that love that he may have had in life at the theater. But yeah, it's a, that's an interesting course to navigate.
I think that would be really interesting. And I could also see how, because he was so invested in it, that he approves of this, he does not approve of this. Like, I could see how that energy would change as well, which would also affect when you walk in and you're feeling, okay, Irv is not okay. He is my paranormal boss. Because I love that. 100%. I love the fact that you have a paranormal boss.
Yeah, pretty much. He keeps me in line. But yeah, and we found ways to keep his memory alive since it's so new. So one of the things is, his desk that had been in our office had slowly gotten pushed up into this back storage area. And we actually had a paranormal investigation team in, and they were getting on their ovulus, this basically these repetitious words that ended up leading to this spot in our mezzanine because it was directing them above flag two. And they found these clues. And then there was this desk and it kept saying desk. And Alex was like, yeah, that's Irv's desk. So our box office manager, Nora, actually had a great idea of saying, I don't think Irv likes being pushed into a corner. So we put Irv's desk now in our lobby space. It's the main area. We have a picture of him and his wife in the drawer to kind of pay homage to someone who worked at the theater and helped save the theater. And it's where we have all our information now. So Irv's been pretty quiet ever since we did that. And also when we changed the seats out, we kept his favorite seat. We thought it would be completely bad energy to get rid of his favorite seat. So we actually kept it, put a plaque on it, and it sits up in our balcony today. Again, some of those little things that if someone put their energy, their passion, their time into saving this building and saving this space, let's find a way to pay homage to them and the time they gave and the effort they spent. And if they keep doing that in the afterlife, fantastic. And if it keeps us in line and makes sure the theater keeps going for decades, fantastic.
I love that idea of moving the desk because that makes sense to me that he'd be like, you're just pushing me out of here. You obviously
I was a part of it.
And I just think that's a beautiful way to acknowledge him and his wife because they were such a big part of the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're ever at the theater in between the stairs and you see a desk, that is Irv's desk.
Oh, I think that's so sweet. So are there other spirits that you think or people have seen there?
Yeah, so the one that we have a summer ghost, which is very interesting. She resides between the stairs as well, but not really attached to the theater. So this is actually one that I did get to research more with a historian is, before the theater was built in the late 20s, there actually was a boarding house that sat on 2nd Street. And then the lobby was pretty much the backyard. So where the stairs was the backyard. And this family, the Hunt family, spent only their summers up in DeKalb and then went down south correctly in the winter. And we had heard, and so, I said, was there a young child that passed? And he said, well, at that time, that would have been completely, unfortunately, regular to have young people die, especially at home. So we have quite often, especially when we have contractors, because even when we're not doing a $6.5 million expansion, we often have contractors in the building just for general maintenance. And again, we're creatures of the night. So they're there at 6, 7 in the morning and we're not there till 9 or 10. And the one time, again, they were like, are you locking the doors? We keep hearing a little kid playing in the lobby. And we look everywhere. We're looking in the seats. We're looking in the bathrooms. And there's no one. But we can hear singing and playing and running. and it's always the little girl ghost. So I have never heard of her, but I argue that's probably the spookiest, is like little kid laughter. Mm-hmm. Well, no way. But yeah, so she's a summer ghost. My coworker Brandon actually saw her. I was with him when that's one of his like major times he has seen an apparition. And it's really funny because we get the question of, oh, so it must be midnight on Halloween with a full moon. And you're like, it could be a Tuesday at noon. Right. And we've seen a ghost. And that was exactly that. It was a Thursday afternoon. I remember because we had the farmer's market going on. So it was the summertime. And we're sitting up in our office space, which is right behind that big stained glass window, is that second floor where our offices is. And so we can look across the main lobby into the mezzanine. And there's these two pillars with these walkways between. And Brandon says he just kind of looks past me and kind of gives this look of the, we all kind of know each other's look of, what'd you just see? What just caught your eye? And because sometimes it's just, I don't know, a shadow. And he's like, I saw a little girl in a white dress with long flowing hair behind her. I saw her running and I saw it between the pillar. And then when she went through the other, what should have come out the other side, she, bomb, 1 o'clock on a Thursday. So yeah, sometimes all of us get a lot of shadow figures here, side things where you think someone's walking up next to you, but to see full apparitions has been pretty much Brandon and Alex. I've been the ones that have seen full on. I saw a human, what looked like a human being in front of my eyes, and I know there was no one there.
And I would think it would have taken some time too to even put together the summer connection. Because
100%. Because yeah, like why in the summertime?
Because and you see, you know, you saw the little girl. And you don't really think about this season. And it's like, it took a while. There was some like, well, you know what? Come to think of it, we've never seen her in the winter. So that's some pretty good investigation there to figure out that she's only seen in the summertime.
Absolutely. Yeah, our boss, he'll talk about how from the early 2000s, even until like 2015, he's like, the theater was so much more active. He's like, we were in a totally different state of, you know, being secure as a business, secure as a building, as than we are today in 2023. And again, I think that agitation of unknowingness of, is this theater going to survive? Is everything going to be okay? Kind of kept the ghost at a height of agitation. So as you see that kind of come down, but yeah, I think that's where they could kind of track of like, you know, we haven't heard that little girl ghost. Like we only heard her in June, July, and August. Maybe she's a summer ghost. I don't know. Cause he was like every day, before it got to where we were kind of really in our vibe and rocking and rolling, which is about 2015, he's like, every day there was constant activity because the building was just not as used, just not as secure in how it was as a business and how it was in our renovation. So the more we've really kind of secured ourselves as our nonprofit, as kind of bettering our staffing, bettering this building, bettering our organization as a whole, they calm down. So at least they trust us. At least they like what we're doing in some way, or they'd be telling us.
Well, and if you just go online and Google the Egyptian Theater, DeKalb, Illinois, since there are others, you'll see these incredible pictures. And when you look on the inside, the theater is remarkable. We have a theater locally that same thing. It's not Egyptian, but it's one of those old theaters that they have been renovating for, like, it seems like 100 years. But it's only 100 years old, but it went into extreme disrepair. But your theater is in amazing condition. And so I understand how maybe that would make them feel they're very content with what they're seeing.
Yeah.
That makes some sense.
I think it keeps us, like I said, to have those paranormal bosses that if they get agitated and things are kind of edgy, then you know, maybe we're not doing things right. Maybe they don't like what we're doing or things we know. Usually by the time they get there, we're like, we know things are tough right now. Let's give us a moment. But yeah, it is always nice to kind of, like I said, just kind of going back to that. It's a community's Egyptian theater. It's the past's Egyptian theaters too. So how can we keep, like I said, that momentum going, doing what's best, not only for what we're doing of who we are running the theater, but what's truly best for the building and the organization that in 20, 30 years, they're not looking back that Alex, Janine, and Brandon's of then saying, what the heck were they thinking back in 2020 or what have you.
Right.
So it does kind of keep that kind of connection to the past ever present because they're there. Like our box office door, I don't know who moves it, but that's the most active one is our box office door opens and closes every other week, at least sometimes a couple times a week. That's like that's our intern's like first introduction to our ghosts. They'll be like, what was that? And you're like, do you want to know? I can say it was the wind, but it was a ghost. Like I can lie to you if you want, but having those moments of kind of reconnecting you to what the theater has been and what the theater can be. And then the joke of maybe that'll be me one day. So like, I'll be like, ha ha ha, shutting the door with the interns of whatever that may be. It really grounds you to why we're doing what we're doing in a funny way, the paranormal does, especially this time of year. And telling the story of our ghosts, like I said, is so intertwined with the story of our history, so much so that when we do our Booze and Spirits tours, it's 90 minutes of the history of the theater with the ghost stories, because you're only going to care about the ghost stories if you care about why the theater is here and
right.
why these people came into this building anyway. So it's a really great way to kind of engage people, get a totally different audience and excited about the arts and the Egyptian theater.
It's interesting to me that you were able to get your board of directors on board with this, because a lot of times I've read about theaters that everybody's like, this is a haunted theater. You look at their website, their Facebook, their socials, there is not a mention of it anywhere. But I also love embracing that part of it. And it also, I mean, it doesn't bring in $1 zillion, but it's also a money-making opportunity to get people in the building, 100%. Investigating, doing those organized tours, especially come October, you can make a lot of extra money for the theater.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this was a lifesaver during the pandemic, because when they said you can have 25 people, and we're like, what could we possibly do that's profitable with 25 people in a house that seats 1,400? And we were like, ghost tours, that's it. So we did. We did like 12 weeks in a row during, I think 2021, the spring of 21 maybe. And yeah, but to have our board, like you said, to have that buy-in is tremendous. And so what I think our executive director has done a great job of, and we all continue to do a great job of, is being really intentional with who we're selecting in our board. Of obviously you want people that just are passionate and love the arts, but a well-rounded board that really represents our community as a whole. And we keep telling them, like, you need to be driving the ship at the 30,000 level. Like, are we doing like the expansion really big? Are we steering the ship right and not get so tight on the nitty gritty of the day to day? Let us, trust the staff to do our jobs, and we can keep reporting to you. And they have. They have been a tremendous board, so supportive when they're looking at steering the theater as a whole as to what direction we should be heading, what major stances we should be taking. When it gets down to are there ghosts or not, they're like, sure, have at it. What do you think is good? That's what we're going to support, because we trust the boots on the ground. But yeah, we do have a couple of buildings in town that are totally haunted, guaranteed. And there's many ghost stories, and yet their board will not get on board with that. And so I've had a couple of conversations, because there's been some turnover, and you'll be like, hey, we could partner and do, you know, something. And you could even, if we want, you know, we could come present to a board of how strong this ties into the history of a building and how you can utilize this, not just as something that's quote unquote gimmicky, but something that truly fosters connections and fosters love and appreciation for a building, just to an audience that might speak in a different way and might be interested in history and something else that's a little bit more edgy and fun. So yeah, we're really quite blessed, like you said, to have the board support, but we might be reaching out and maybe going to other boards and be like, hey, you should do this. Not only is it obviously a moneymaker, but it's a great way to tell your story.
The two things can go together. You can have all Absolutely. Of your shows, you can have all of your performers, and you can do all of that, and you can do this. So it isn't like mm-hmm. it's one or the other. Anybody who goes to see a performance, they might go there and go, oh, they're doing a ghost tour. That sounds like fun. I'll go. Maybe yeah. the ghost tour people go, oh, so-and-so is going to be there. I think that would be a fun show. So it doesn't mean that one cancels out the other. That's what I don't get about the boards that don't want to. When your building's haunted, it's haunted. You know, people are going to pick totally. Up on that.
Like, we can't hide them. They're here.
When I go to that third stall in the dressing room and you didn't tell me about that, you should have
Be like, no, it's
me.
Just the hinges. They're weird. You're like, yeah.
No, I just think that's such a great way that you've embraced it and kind of kept you going and kept you who you are with respect to the people who have passed who are still there.
like I said, it's a really great tie-in, like from present day to past.
So do you have paranormal investigations there throughout the year, or do you kind of do more of a ghost tour, both?
Yeah, we do both. So we do, we call them our booze and spirits tour, because now we have a liquor license. So
awesome. Take advantage of that.
Exactly. We even have a lime slushy that we call the Lady in Green. And she hasn't complained yet, so she hasn't ordered one either.
She's being honored.
Exactly. So we do those a couple of times a year. They're limited to 25 to 30 people. And it's a 90-minute tour that goes balcony to backstage. And then you get 30 minutes on your own to explore. So those are on our website. When we have them upcoming, we're going to have one on September 28th this fall and one on November 15th. But then we do have people just rent the theater, that we have everything from what we call our looky-loos, quote unquote, that are just like, I'm just here to see if I get scared by something, to people that come in with suitcases and suitcases of gear that have every bell and whistle and cool toy that could detect ghosts. What's really interesting is the evidence that we get from not only the investigators that bring all the equipment, but the pictures we've gotten from people's phones on tours are phenomenal. They're absolutely amazing. We've gotten some where it just looks like a full figure standing in our balcony, all different things that we share just exclusively then on the tours to say, hey, come see some of the stuff that has been taken on these tours by people just like you. As much as I would love my entire job to just be standing around the theater taking ghost pictures, unfortunately, I don't have it built in my schedule. So to have it, people that are excited about it, and then to say like, that's my pick, I took it. It's really fun to see the evidence that comes out from both the kind of more amateur to more, quote, professional ghost hunting.
Do you share any of that information on your socials or anything?
A couple here and there. There are some that we do like to save just for the tours, but I think we put them out usually in October on our Instagram and socials, just to be like, hey,
oh, that's fun.
You want to come hear more about? And, but yeah, it's very fun to do stuff like that. But we keep growing our ghost pick collection. It used to be just a couple here and there. But during the pandemic, like I said, they were feisty. So I wish every Friday when we had a ghost tour at 8 p.m., I could be like, okay, gather up, let's go, ghosts, that we'd have the best-selling tour in town. But during the pandemic, they were feisty, and we got a lot of pictures in 2021 and 2020.
And I would guess, too, if for whatever reason the theater was shut down for a couple weeks, you didn't have any shows or whatever, I bet you'd walk in and there'd be all that activity. Like, where's everybody been?
100%. Like, what the heck? I thought we were done with this. Yeah, they would be agitated.
So they can get more information at the website, and it's Egyptian Theater, and that's spelled with an R-E at the end of theater, correct?
Yep.
EgyptianTheater.org. Yep. I have family in Iowa, so not too far away. So next time I go, we'll just take a little trip over and come see you guys. It'd be so fun.
Yeah, give us a holler. We love to show the theater off anytime, and can show you some of the ghost pics too, because they're just the most fun things to show off.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Egyptian Theater with Janine Holcomb. If you'd like more information, visit their website at EgyptianTheater.org. That's theater spelled with an R-E at the end. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks, and you can find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.